All right, we're live. Tapping Birdie, the CJ Cup, Byron Nelson, TPC Craig Ranch week. Here with TPC Jeff. Jeff, you know, one of the best follows on Twitter. This is his home event. Was caddying there today. I mean, you just can't have a better guest for a pod than this week.
Hey, I appreciate it. Yeah, we were out there. Nice little five-hour pro-am round with Eric Barnes today, and real good experience. Very humid, okay. I will say. No wind, which didn't help since I was lugging that bag around. Like, I don't think I'm cut out for the looper life long-term. So we'll see, but I don't think so for long-term.
So new respect for PGA Tour caddies in terms of what it takes to carry around a bag for 4 days on a PGA Tour course?
I would say absolutely yes, especially the ones that are older, like in their 60s, that are still doing this. I'm like, dude, there's no way, especially when it gets to the summer events and it gets even hotter. Eric's caddy wasn't even there yet. He was still flying in. So Eric just rode around in a cart all day while we were lugging bags around for the amateurs playing. It didn't make sense to me, but, you know, it works.
I've you know, you see Ted Scott, you know, if you're an elite tour player caddy, like, it seems like a pretty good gig. Like, you could make a decent amount of money, and it's, like, kind of a low-stress type vibe. Like, you're just carrying around a bag. Like, obviously, a lot goes into caddying, but sometimes I'll walk 18 holes on, like, my local course, and I'll be like, I mean, I'm shot the next day. So to do that almost every single week, 4 days, on a lot longer courses with like a lot more like undulation in the hills. Like, it's definitely not easy being a PGA Tour caddy or a caddy in general. So shout out loopers.
Yeah, I have a newfound respect for them, especially for as long as they do with the practice rounds they put in. Yeah, not for me long-term. Although Eric's caddy wasn't there, like I mentioned, part of me for a second was like, man, do I go all out today and like try to earn a spot in the bag for the week? Or do I just play it cool and see how things go? So I definitely laid back once I found out his caddy was still going to fly in and didn't need my assistance.
Yeah, you definitely should have started, like, reading greens for him, like, asking what club he was hitting into the green, like, kind of getting a good wind gauge for him. I think that would have been great.
Yeah, he literally got off an airplane. He goes, I almost missed my flight this morning. My three-month-old kid woke me up because I forgot to set my alarm. And he said, never played this course, got off the plane, and then he drains a 30-footer on the first hole for birdie. So I was like, dude, I've played here a million times. I've never come close to sniffing a birdie on the first hole.
that's definitely tough. So how are you with the change in schedule, the new sponsor? I mean, have you had any, like, Korean dumplings this week? Like, are there any new, like, stands? But there's been a lot of changes at the Byron Nelson. I'm just calling it the Byron Nelson. Like, the CJ Cup presents, like, I'm out on that. So where are you at with the new spot in the calendar and the new sponsor for this week?
Well, so to get things started off, they moved it up a week, obviously, which I'm flying home for a wedding on Friday. My cousin's getting married. Like, I have to go. So that is already off to a bad start. I get to go Thursday, which is still good. So I get to see the event. But with the week moving up, it really didn't help my situation much. As far as the new sponsors are going, the tee markers were different this year. So,
okay. You know, all right. Got to factor color. That into your model.
Yeah. They're green. And they are definitely not the white A&T that you're used to. So take for that what you want with that. And they did have some taco food stands out there. So I don't know if that was Korean meat. It probably was, now that you said that. So, I mean, it was a good taco, probably a 7.3.
That's pretty low, honestly, for a golf course taco. You got to be getting those numbers up.
I mean, it was late in the day, and I hadn't really had much to eat all day other than just pounding waters left and right. To stay hydrated. So it'll be interesting. I'm looking forward to it on Thursday. Hopefully the weather holds off a little bit. Looks like there's a good chance of some rain. Hopefully there won't be too much stoppage in play, but we'll see.
Anything past Thursday? I know you said there might be some rain Thursday. How does the rest
it looks like? So it looks like right now, if it holds, there's going to be potential rain later in the day, like 4 or 5 o'clock. So as long as they don't get delayed too much on Thursday, they should still be fine to get it in. I mean, it doesn't look like heavy rain, like it was 40, 50% okay. Here and there on and off starting at 4 or 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I'm seeing some rain throughout the week, man.
Dude,
I'm seeing some light rain. This you got to factor this into the model.
I know. I remember last year when we did this, it was like the first time it rained in weeks. So I'm like, oh, no way this will happen 2 years in a row, right? Well, here we are, a week of the event again, and now rain is going to play a factor. So we'll see how that affects the finish time on Thursday if they get it all in. Obviously, if they don't, we'll have to get a late start on Friday, and they'll be playing catch-up all weekend.
Yeah, no, can't have that. I mean, it's making me think that, like, God hates Byron Nelson or something, which he shouldn't. He definitely shouldn't. Byron Nelson, one of the greatest golfers of all time, and this is his event. So yeah. I'm really upset with the weather forecast. That definitely sucks.
Yeah. Hopefully it's not as bad as it looks right now. Maybe it improves a little bit, but, you know, time will tell.
Yeah. No, and honestly, I mean, again, no offense. This field this week is
electric,
is pretty tough. I mean, yeah. The spot in the schedule with where it is now, like not the week before a major, which would get some guys to be there, the week in between when everyone's going to play Wells, and then it's the PGA Championship, and then it's a pretty consistent run of golf. If you want to be on it, the field is pretty weak. Like I really don't feel great about a lot of guys in this field. Where are you at with the state of the union on the field this week?
Yeah, no, I mean, I can try to lie and joke that it's a great field. It's, you know, one of the greatest weeks of the year. I would be telling a legit lie. It's not great. Some of the Texas Dallas guys, they're obviously playing. Tom Kim lives here. The one thing I will say, as bad as it's going to sound, is I'm glad Scotty's out this week.
Yeah.
Like we have a chance to hit an outright that's not 5-1. So I brought that up today when we were on the tee. Somebody said something like, oh, Scotty's not playing this week. And Eric was taking his practice swings and he stopped and he goes, thank God, give somebody else a chance.
Honestly, Scotty, like it's funny as it sounds, like he was in a really good position to win this golf tournament last year. Like he was like deep into the mix. And again, like if he showed up and won this week, that would be insane. But I wouldn't put it past him with how he's playing right now and how he's played here in the past. But that is the positive of this week. I think if Scotty was in the field, it definitely would put a big of a damper on things. But like someone has to win this week and they're probably going to be at decent odds. And like, I'm excited for that sense, at least because it feels like hopeful and it's a full field event with shot tracker. So like, that's great. But it's just not like no one at the top is even good. Like no one in this field you could really say is like playing unbelievable golf. So it's definitely going to make for an interesting tournament.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with what you just said there. Even though the field is pretty down this week, like you mentioned earlier, like with some of those long shots that hit earlier this year on the events before Scotty went on that tear, this feels like a week where it definitely could be in play and you can get some decent value down the board a little bit without looking over your shoulder and seeing Scotty, you know, one back going into Sunday or already three clear and it's basically over.
So I'm excited in that sense. Like we have a chance to hit a winner. We could all use it. So I'll be looking forward to that. We didn't talk, and it's also a tough week just pod wise because there's like nothing to talk about even last week really with the team event. Did you catch any of the Xero Classic? Were you locked in to Zach Blair and Peter Fishburn late on Sunday? Like anything strike your fancy last week?
I was not. So long story short, my mother flew into town to visit for Friday, Saturday. Sunday, I went to the Mavs playoff game yesterday.
How was that?
It was good. I mean, started off horribly, obviously. The Mavs got down by almost, I think, like 25 points or something like that in the first half. Clawed all the way back. I think they took a two-point lead at one point, and then they crashed down the stretch. So good time, though. It's the first one I've been to all year. We have one, a little box for work, but it's the first time I've used it all year.
Yeah, no, that's great. Yeah, the Zurich, I mean, the no-shot tracker, I mean, I know it sounds dumb, but, like, that really takes away from the event. Like, if we all have bets out there, but if you literally can't track anything and you're just waiting for the score to come up, like, it just makes the week so much less interesting. And I wasn't really able to watch much, but I think it was a bit surprising that Rory and Shane won. Obviously, they were definitely some of the better players in the field, but I don't know. Like, Lowry, like, his putting, and Rory hasn't been that great. Like, I was just a bit surprised that they did go up against literally the worst golfers ever, but I didn't have them on my radar going into the week.
No, I didn't even – I looked at the odds board, and then I knew I had stuff going on over the weekend. I was like, I'm not going to be able to see one golf shot. So I just completely
– Just save some money for the Byron.
Yeah, exactly. That's right.
Yeah, and then Live Adelaide. I was watching some of it. Brendan Steele wins. Louis finishes runner-up. It's actually – like I was on a Spaces last night with some Live people just chatting, and – I said this, but, like, you've seen on Live a lot of guys that maybe didn't win a lot on the PGA Tour that were, like, losers on the PGA Tour, like, get wins on Live, you know, just because it's a smaller field, it's a completely different environment, it's only 3 days. But the fact that Louis has continued to be a loser on Live, like how he always was on the PGA Tour, is crazy to me. Like, I would have thought that he would have won one of these by now, but the fact that he's continuously being like a bridesmaid and never winning, even though he's being in contention and just losing by one stroke, like, absolutely crazy to me.
Yeah. Some of those names, like, I'll look on the leaderboard and there'll be times where I'm like, man, I didn't even know this guy was still playing golf. Obviously, yeah, down there at the bottom of the leaderboard for the most part. But, like, you mentioned him, and then what I think was it Peter, is it Uline? I'll probably butcher.
Yeah, Peter Uline.
Yeah, yeah. He won one on there. Like, yeah, it's just like that guy was never coming close to winning on the PGA Tour. Now, yeah. But
Chucky's three sticks, he won like twice. He never won on the PGA Tour in like 10 years. So, Louis, it's a really bad look to continue to be a runner up on Live.
Yeah. But that was your boy at one time. So, I mean, close. Maybe he'll figure it out sometime later this year. I know we got Anthony Kim bringing up the rear of the field every week. So,
yeah, no, AK dead last every week. He's a Dallas guy, he should be here. He's a Texas guy. I don't know if he's a Dallas guy, but he should be here, this week. So, we'll definitely miss him. He definitely would have been a good fit, here. But, like, in general, I know it's a pretty straightforward course, like, a lot of drivers got to go low. Like, anything that stands out to you about this week, what you're kind of looking for, or is it just pick guys you think can win and can, like, actually close out a PGA Tour event?
I mean, it's a legit birdie fest. They're going to be 25, maybe 26 under, 27 under. We'll see. Last year, when they moved it to a par 71, they changed the 12th hole from a par 5 to a par 4. That's in play again this year. Eric made par on that today. He was not.
Okay.
So he was trying to. He missed a birdie, burned the edge on it. But so the stretch from like hole 10 to hole 13, they're all par 4s, and they're all pretty long. 471, 457, and then 12 is 493, and then 13 is 512 yards. So there's not a lot of trouble on this course. Like, even if you miss a fairway, you're going to be fine more times than not. But if there's a stretch of holes where you can gain strokes on the field by making a couple birdies through those four, that's something I would look for with those longer par fours, especially being back to back to back to back.
Yeah.
Before they get to 14, which is a pretty drivable par four,
yeah,
330.
Yeah.
So that kind of 4 or 5 hole stretch right there will be interesting. The par threes here are a little bit longer. They got a couple that are over 200 yards. 15 is 216. And then I know 4 is playing like 215, 220.
Okay.
So some decent par threes right there distance wise. And then they have 17th hole was a short one. It's like 130, 140 that they'll play for the most part. And that's their little stadium hole. They're trying to make a mini version of, you know, TPC Scott.
People are going
to
be going nuts, like flashing titties or what?
I don't know if they'll go that far, but I was there last year and they had music playing. It was a great vibe. Probably nowhere near, obviously,
yeah,
TPC Scottsdale, but it was
a good... Or the watering hole in Little Adelaide.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but we'll try to get it turned up there on Thursday if they will.
I cannot believe you have a wedding. I mean, what the fuck? Like, how did they not look at the schedule?
Man,
this is like the best week of the year. Like, this
I committed. Yeah, dude, I know. I committed to that wedding. Which she actually, my cousin, said, yeah, it's the first weekend of May. And in my head, I'm like, oh, that's great. The Byron's the next weekend.
So Jay fucked you.
Yeah, it's just yeah, Monahan's out here fucking his own players on tour by what he's doing. And then he's also screwing me out of 3 days and free food and booze all weekend. So,
I mean, the free food and booze, I mean, you can't beat that. I mean, there's nothing better to do on the weekend.
I basically just go there with enough money to tip the bartenders. And that's all I spend for the whole day.
Yeah, dude, I feel for you, man. I really do. It's definitely an unfortunate situation, and I know you would have had great content from the course all week. So we're all pouring one out.
Yeah,
I better be a fucking good wedding.
That 17th hole was pretty fun today. My brother hit one to about 15 feet, and then he drained the birdie putt, and then he said I was fired as his caddy because I didn't get it on video. So
damn. So how did your brother play? What did he shoot?
No, so you play, they called it a shamble. I have never heard of it, honestly.
Yeah, everyone tees off and then you play your own ball from there.
Yeah, you play the drive, the best drive, then you play your own ball from there. And on 17, he hit it to about 17 feet, made the putt, and that was the birdie for the whole group. He did well, dude, absolute clinic on the range session.
Like, but it was because of you.
Yeah, obviously, I was handing him the clubs and then obviously wiping them off and cleaning the grooves out in between.
Yeah.
So, like, I legit, and I wasn't just saying that to put it on Twitter, like, he was just killing it. And then first, like, 6-7 holes played fairly good and then struggled off the tee with the driver for a few holes. And then he got it back together for the last two. We ended up shooting, I think they got to like 14 or 15 under, and the winner was at 18 or 19. We had two guys in the group that are like single handicaps, like 4 or 5s that were just carrying them all day for the most part.
But I still think you should be proud of your effort. And
That birdie doesn't get drained if I don't hand him the putter and take the cover off of it beforehand.
Yeah.
So
yeah, no, that was huge. I'm sure they were going crazy. So you want to get into the odds board?
Let's do it.
Like, where, like, when you opened up the odds board this morning, did you have like, I want to bet like these couple guys, like they're all shit odds? Like, what, I know, because I know you take this event seriously. Like, what is kind of your take on the odds board as a total, and like how many bets were easy for you to make?
So, since I moved to Texas, I kind of changed my format. I got to wait for one more book who posts on Tuesday morning, which is usually the better odds for the golf side of things. So I haven't made any bets yet. Now I can tell you who I'm pretty narrowed down to.
Okay.
But like,
just popping in the models.
Yeah, like I kind of wanted to take a look at Alex Noren, and then I saw on like a FanDuel he was 25-1, and I'm like, oh man, I don't know if I can get there at 25 on Alex, but you know, we'll see where this guy, like, just to put reference, like for the Masters, he had Bryson DeChambeau out to 50-1, so I took a small place on that when he was like 35-ish, maybe 40 elsewhere. So I could maybe catch like a 35 on Noren tomorrow, and I might be in. We'll see how it goes.
So Jordan 16-1, maybe the worst favorite of an event this entire year. His game seems completely off, and I think he's injured. So I'm out on Jordy. Siwoo, I like obviously runner up here last year is someone I can kind of trust to win. But at 18-1, like even 20 in this field, it just feels like putting a lot of eggs in one basket for a guy that's very volatile. So I'm out of that. And then Day, I don't think he's winning again. And Zal, I just don't trust him to go low enough.
Yeah, I don't think he can make enough birdies. Like, I mean, you know this as well. He needs pretty much a little more difficult courses. That's where he plays his best golf at if he was going to get going and win an event, you know.
Yeah, so, like, the top of the board, just no one's really intriguing to me. I agree with you. Noren obviously has been playing really well. He's had some good results in Texas. But to bet a guy that's never won on the PGA Tour – at 25-1, like that's literally the best number on him. Like that's just something I'm not gonna do.
No, I'm not gonna go there anywhere. And like you mentioned, he had a couple top 15 finishes here in Texas, so that was intriguing for me this year. But when I saw the number, I was just like, I'm gonna either wait and hope it gets further down the board, or I'm just gonna be out completely.
Yeah. What about this next group of like Scott, Benon, Hoagie, Jaeger, Tom Kim, Keith Mitchell? Are you betting any of those guys? Any of those guys popping in the models for you?
I'm probably going to go with Benny on out of that group. He got a 14th here last year. He didn't really play too well at the Heritage at all. I think he was almost in last place.
Yeah.
And he had a top 20 at the Masters. So I'm hoping, you know, he can find some form that he had earlier in the year when he was playing probably the best golf of his career, honestly. So if he can find some of that, I can probably be in with that top 15 finish here last year. He's only played it that one time.
Yeah.
But that's intriguing. I'm going to take a look at him tomorrow and then – everybody else in that range. I saw a lot of people on Hoagie. What are your thoughts there?
I don't know. I think that I of course, like I like Hoagie on a lot shorter courses. Like I think Hoagie on a super driver heavy course with a lot of par fours, like that's just not a place I really want to bet him at 33-1. And also again, I don't know how many wins Tom Hoagie's going to have in his career. Like I could definitely see him ending with one. So it just seems like a pretty steep price to pay on what I don't think is like a super great course fit.
Yeah, no, I agree. I was looking at him about 45 minutes ago. I jumped on here to take a look at some things and I saw quite a few people on him and I just don't know if I'm going to be able to do it. You know, maybe if the number was a little bit further down, I would take a look, but I think I'm really going to just go down the board and just throw some darts on some longer shots here.
Yeah. I like Keith Mitchell. Honestly, I think he's a pretty good course fit. I think he's a really good ball striker and the putting isn't great. And he might be a more difficult conditions guy, but I like him on courses where you have to hit a lot of drivers and he's had a more consistent year than I think a lot of people would give him credit for. Again, I don't love it because he's not someone I really think can go out and win the tournament, but I think he's a pretty good fit. And at 40-1, like, I don't think that's really that bad of a prize.
No. And Mitchell was another one I was going to look at down here. Great from longer distance approach shots, which are going to come into play this week. I think he's a good one to look at on the board. If I don't start my card with Benny on, it's probably going to start with Mitchell tomorrow when I get those odds on that other book to come out.
What are your, to me, to me, Adam Shank at like 45 is like a pretty, like this guy was like 80, 90, like 150 a couple weeks ago. Like he really dipped in form. And then he went fifth at Valero, 12th at the Masters, which is a great result for Adam Shank. And then 49th at RBC. I don't know. It just feels like I'm buying at the peak a little bit with Adam Shank. And he's, again, another guy that's never won anything.
Yeah, I mean, I don't hate it. Like, his form has been there. He's got, 19th at the Players. Yeah, you mentioned it. 5 at Valero, 12th at Masters. The Heritage wasn't as great. But, like, this field isn't going to be near as strong as that.
Yeah.
So if there was a time where he could contend and compete, that might be it. He hasn't had a whole lot of success here yet, but he's in much better form than he was.
Is he, it's like off the top of your head, is he a Texas guy?
I mean, he got what, fifth at the Valero, and then
I want on a more like personal level. Like, do you see Adam Shank like fucking in Texas?
Yeah, I could. I mean,
okay. Yeah. I don't know. He doesn't get, like, I'm pretty sure he's an Indiana guy or an Illinois guy. So I know you've made the adjustment, but like, I don't know how well he can, you know, make the change. Like I want Texas guys. This week, whatever that may mean. Like, that's kind of what I'm looking for. I bet Mac Hughes, 45-1. For whatever reason, I kind of trust Mac Hughes to win down the stretch. Like, if push came to shove, like, he's not someone I would think would shit all over himself. He won not that long ago, and he's mixed a lot. Like, he's a guy that randomly pops up into contention and can play well. So at a driver heavy course, which I think he's picked up a lot of distance, you love this Prez Cup year. Like, give me Mac Hughes in a Prez Cup year. Like, he's got to solidify himself on the team. Third at Valspar, 14th at Houston, 40th at Heritage. Give me Mac Hughes. Like, I think, again, a guy that could go out and win this thing. And I like the course fit to a decent effect.
Yeah, now that you said his name, I'm looking at some stuff here. And he had a solid finish here last year, 14th.
Boom.
So if he can build upon that, I mean, he can be right there come Sunday.
Are you going to ride?
Dude, I think I might have to.
Let's just ride Mac Hughes. Like, yeah. I'm not saying he's a huge winner, but I just think if he puts himself in the mix, like, he won't back down. I mean, they don't just hand out the trophy at the Sanderson Farms, man. You got to fucking earn that shit. And yeah, he did. And, you know, I trust him. So I want to bet Mark Hubbard, but he sucks. And he's just like a very unserious golfer. And he'll probably be a guy that just cashes checks for finishing like 13th through 27th in shit events for the rest of his career. But I don't trust him. I really don't. Like, good guy, funny on Twitter. Like, he's liked some of my tweets before, but I think he's an unserious golfer. I'm out.
Yeah. And he doesn't hit it as far as a lot of these guys do. Yeah. So he's going to be a little further back on a lot of these pro shots versus the other guys. And distance is it's not super huge this week, but it definitely helps with it being a little bit longer course.
Yeah. I know you have a great history with this guy. If I'm not mistaken, you've hit him twice before. Some call you the Seamus Power Whisperer. Where are you at on Shammy Powell this week?
Yeah, I cannot believe you remember that.
No, I remember you. I don't know why. I remember you hit him at the Barbasol or Barracuda. Yeah. Yeah. And then I just remembered, I think you bet him at Bermuda.
I did. Yep. I was driving back on Sunday morning from Austin back to Dallas, or Sunday afternoon from Austin to Dallas. And I was literally streaming that on my phone, on my dashboard. Like, I had it propped up, just driving 80 miles an hour, trying to get home as fast as I could to watch the finish on my TV, which I did for like the last two holes. But that is an incredible memory that you remember that. I did have him at the Barbasol too when JT Poston shit himself. down the stretch.
That was in your banner year, dude.
Yes.
Are you gonna tell your grandkids about that year?
I will. Yeah. I mean,
I think you hit like 12 winners.
13.
Like 13 winners in a single season. That was sick.
Yeah. Morikawa and him on the same day. I believe it was the same day as the Open because it was the crossover event.
You didn't parlay him?
Dude, I should have parlayed everything that year. That was a great year. But like, I looked at him and like, I don't know. I'm on FanDuel. I'm looking. He's 55-1 on there.
Yeah, 60's best prize.
Ooh, man. Yeah, that's going to be hard for me to say. No.
Come on, Jeff. We need you on him.
No, like he got 12th at the Heritage. He's got three top 20 finishes here the last 3 years, 19th, 17th, and 9th. Like, there was a while where he was playing like complete dog shit. And I thought, you know, he might be done. He's kind of fading out. But coming off that 12th place at Heritage and the history here and this field not being great, like, I'm in on Matt Hughes, like you said. I'm in on Seamus Power. Those two are going to be locked and loaded for sure.
All right. I need you on Shammy if he's going to win. Like, you bring out something special in Seamus Power, and I need that.
I'm going to go follow him. I'm going to go follow him Thursday. Whatever his tee times, I'm getting out of the suite. I'll lock in like three beers in my pocket, and I'm just – it's go time, Seamus. Let's go, me and you.
Love it. Absolutely love it. I'm betting this loser. He's a loser. He probably can't win, but, you know, crazier things have happened. Bo Haas. Give me Bo Haas. 66-1. I like Bo Haas in the birdie fest. He's a Texas guy. Horns, hook him. He went to Texas. I don't know why I know that, but he did. And you know, he's been hanging around. You know, he's been doing stuff. So I'm fine with Bo Haas 66-1. Like, am I confident he could win this? Maybe not, but maybe he could give me a nice Sunday sweat. First round leader, nuke though.
Oh yeah, he's a guy who can put one incredible round together, and then just completely go even par the next 3 days. And you're like, well, how can't this guy figure this out? Dude, I'm probably going to tail you on the first round leader for sure.
What is your are you going to put out a first round leader card? You hit soon. You'll know last year.
Yeah, I hit. Who was it? Sebastian
Munoz, the year before.
Yeah, him too.
I want to shout out Soon You'll Know. Okay, so Soon You'll Know, he shot a 60.
Yeah.
Okay? He shot a 60 in the first round. A 60. I think that was the best score by 3 strokes. Guess what he finished?
Did he even get in the top 20?
No.
Hold on. No.
Soon You'll Know finished 74th after shooting an opening around 60, 11 under. And he, I don't even know how that's possible. Like, he went 60, 74, 73, 70.
Yeah, that's incredibly bad.
Like, one of the most, you know, impressive, like, performances I've ever seen. But, you know, shout out RK, shout out King. We hit him first round leader at the Bermuda Barbasol or Barracuda or something. So the dude knows how to take it low, but after that he struggles a little bit.
Yeah, I can see that.
we gotta find him this year. Anyone you're eyeing like 75 to 100? Anyone you're that's popping in your models?
You know, our boy PGA Tout spotlighted him. Probably one of your favorite golfers, right, Peter?
Yeah, Quest.
Yeah, Quest. I think I'm going to take a stab at him.
I have 100-1 if you want. I'll bet it for you.
Yeah. No, I'm seeing that right now here too. I probably will have to hit you up for that depending on how this guy looks tomorrow with his. Like, he got 10th at the Valero. He played this event last year, got 14th, only time he's played it. And – you know, he's extremely accurate off the tee, which not so much important here, but it definitely helps. So I'm definitely going to probably hit him too. Like, I'm going to be Matt Hughes, Seamus Power, Peter Quest, maybe a couple more in there somewhere.
Yeah, I like Lauer. He's been playing well. he's been trending a little bit, and he's not super long off the tee, but you know, he could vibe a little bit. I'm with you on Quest. I bet 100. I think it could be a Jake Knapp at Mexico situation where it's like a guy that no one knew who he was 2 months ago. But he gets on a really good course for him and just pops. Monday Q King can take it low, putted well here last year. So I'm in on that. Kevin Yu, maybe like something a little bit he could pop. Probably not. Maybe first round leader. I like that.
I used to bet him on the Corn Ferry Tour when he was on there a lot. And I don't know why he didn't get in this event or play this event last year. Like, he hasn't played here before.
He was injured.
Oh, that's right. That's right. He was hurt. Yeah. Okay, that makes sense. I forgot about that. I mean, he hasn't been playing great lately.
Asians do well here.
Shout out Cage Lee. What about him? Two-time winner here. He's probably mid-50s, I think I saw, at best.
No.
I'm not on him either.
It's like 50-1, dude.
Yeah, he's not been looking good.
Like, I'm always in on KH Lee, but no. 48th at Punta Cana, that's terrible.
Yeah. He miscut at the Valero. Yeah. No, I can't do it.
At 50-1, like, no.
No.
I'm out. No. I like Nate Lashley. He's been doing things. I bet him a lot, so I just kind of feel like indebted to him a little bit. Novak, my guy, should have been first round leader last week. The tour had them at minus 12, even though they weren't minus 12. And I DM'd him after, and he was like, "Yeah, I was pissed because that the scores screw up our time because I knew like people bet us first round leader." And I knew everyone would be, you know, he's like the boy. Like, he's like,
no, he literally said that to you.
I swear to God, said that exact to me. He's like, yeah, I was bummed because I know a lot of people bet us first round leader.
That is awesome.
No, he like Jers knows him. Like, he's like, saw him at practice rounds and said he's like the chillest dude.
Yeah, so, I knew you had talked to him a few times and had some interactions with him. I saw. I didn't know you messaged him and he said that. That's hilarious. Yeah,
we're boys. I mean, we're like legit best boys. So I'll bet him every single week he tees it up. I like Bramlett too. Just another bomber type. SH Kim. Just throwing out names, but like those are kind of some longer shots I like.
Yeah. I like SH Kim, especially at that price. I might ride with you on that one.
Okay. First round leader for sure.
Yeah. I mean, I'll take a look in the morning when these odds come out, but like, this is the week where you can go down the board and just try to find something and, you know, have a better chance than you would most weeks. So it'll be interesting.
Oh, you got to ride this guy. Kevin Chue.
Dude, what'd he get last year? Like 11th, I think?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's 175-1. He was third at Punta Cana. Kevin Chue, 150. I mean, absolute mortgage play. Like, one of the best bets I've ever seen in my life. 11th here last year and at second at the Houston Open in 2021. The dude fucks in Texas. I mean, so, there's just no doubt in my mind. Kevin Chue is a guy that can fuck in Texas. Won the Fortinet in 2018.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
what more do you need?
Will you ride Kevin Chue with me?
I mean, he was born in Oklahoma, which is connected to Texas.
Basically
is Texas. So, yep, yeah, I mean, I'm just throwing darts on some long shots this week after the ones we've already mentioned. So, like, I remember when Will Zalatoris won, you told me to bet him that week and he won and I didn't. Like, that's probably my biggest FOMO bet.
Yeah, that was bad. That was really bad. I was
so like
there's
no Will,
and you're like, no, he has a new caddy on the bag. Like, I'm not betting him. Yeah, I remember that.
And then so like the last thing I'm gonna do is do this podcast with you and have you tell me you have to ride with this guy and then not do it. And then let it happen again. Like, I can't let that happen again.
Yeah,
so, yeah, I'll, would... I'll, I'll throw $20 on Toy at 150-1.
Okay. Yeah. I mean, I nuked him. Like, I absolutely pounded him.
What'd you throw him?
If he wins, like, I will fly down to Dallas and we could just party, honestly.
Yeah. We can get you out there on Craig Ranch next week while it's still in pretty good shape.
Yeah, no, that is my mortgage of the week. Third, okay, also third at Valero in 2017.
Oh yeah, just yesterday. Yeah,
I mean, what more do you want? Like, literally, I don't know, what more do you want from the guy?
No, like, if you got third place at an event in Texas 7 years ago, like, I'm definitely gonna be dialed in on you this week.
It's pretty sad that Davis Riley is 200-1 in this field. I mean, this is a PGA Tour winner.
Talk about a guy who just fell off. I mean, I used to bet him all the time on the Korn Ferry Tour, and it was like a mini Spieth roller coaster with his scorecard. He could make 5-6 birdies in a row and then just go out and hit two in the water off the tee the next hole, and I wouldn't have been shocked. It was a roller coaster following him on the Korn Ferry, and he's been playing some bad golf this year.
Yeah, and he, like, won the Zurich last year, so he's, like, in all these elevated events, but he's just terrible.
Yeah.
If you're 200-1 in this field, like, you got to take a long look in the mirror at yourself and, like, really ask yourself, like, what you're doing.
Yeah, he's missed – before the Zurich, he'd missed 3 cuts in 4 events, so
yeah,
not great. Yeah,
just tough from him. I don't know if this is a joke or not. Fishburn, 250. I mean, he was fucking last week.
He was. Dude
nukes it off the tee. Like, he is an absolute bomber. Did I know he existed? Like, not even, like, you know me, I know more than, like, I know a lot about almost every single golfer. I didn't know who he was. Like, I, like, never have heard of him. Ever before. Patrick Fishburn. I just typed in Peter Fishburn. It is not that.
He's not.
He has missed, like, basically every cut ever. But he was trending going in 23rd at Corrales. So he was like 23rd at Corrales. Like, I might bet him, dude.
I mean, it won't be a lot of money at 250-1. I've made worse bets on that, but he has not been good until last week when, I mean, he lit it up. Yeah. I'm probably not going to be there.
Okay.
Because I don't
know.
Is
that where you cross the line?
I mean, yeah, I got to put a stop somewhere down the line on the board here. I'm going to be
right out of pitch. I can't convince you on Patty Fish.
No, you got the other three. We'll go with the other three, and I got to find probably one more, two more, depending on.
And you still got some models to run and some wind finder to look at.
Yeah, and I might try to sneak on the course tomorrow, walk around the practice round like I own the place. I won't, but, you know, we'll see.
Yeah, just get a media pass from somebody.
Yeah.
Like, hit up Allie. Just,
yeah,
just get me a media pass. You put it on. No one will know.
Yeah,
just,
I mean,
walk inside the rope.
That's the least you could have done for me this week. Just send me one up, and she's only like 3 hours away. Just ship it to me overnight.
Shouldn't be a big deal. Shout out Allie. We love her. She's the best Texas girl. Huge Texas girl.
Yeah.
Is she doing okay in the Lone Star State?
Yeah, she's down in Austin, about 3 hours away.
Okay.
Yep. So she seems to be enjoying it so far.
Okay. I want to hit up Dallas. I want to see the JFK Assassination Museum for sure. Yeah. Like, want to hit Dealey Plaza, get some barbecue, like, maybe settle down with somebody and, like, open an oil reservation and, like, just kind of start my life over. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, I'll tell you what, Brian, you come down here. We'll get Allie up here and we'll just give you a full tour of Dallas. And then, you know, we'll find some oil money somewhere. Hey, no more winters. No more snow in New York where you're at.
Yeah.
Deal with that.
Yeah, we'll just be hot like for like 5 months of the year.
Yeah,
like,
it's coming up.
Unbearable out. Like, I'm down for that personally. Yeah. It should be a good time.
The thing is, when you find this woman that's with the rich oil money, Brian, you guys can get a summer home somewhere else where it's cooler. So, I mean, it's not like you have to work anymore. I mean, that should be the goal to close out this year, I think, for you.
Okay, I'm fine with that personally. I think that's a good plan that I'm about. And yeah, the two home thing, that should be an easy fix to you know, the problems of the heat down there. But mm-hmm. I mean, other than that, like I got to get down to Texas.
Yeah, I'll be here.
Are you happy to have Zeke back on the Cowboys?
Oh my gosh, I saw that today when I was looking at my phone for something. I'm sure the fans will, but like he's not good anymore. Like he averages like 3 yards a carry. I mean, he's on the Cowboys again because the Cowboys said they were going all in free agency and literally did the exact opposite. Did nothing.
Yeah. Like, wait, so are you a Cowboys fan?
No, I'm still a Colts fan. Being from Indiana, still cheer for the Colts. I went to 2 Cowboys games last year.
How's the vibe there?
I mean, one of them was the playoff game against the Packers where they got torched. Yeah. Like,
had the over in that game. Nuked that.
Oh, easy lock. That thing was done by halftime. I just enjoy the environment and the ambiance. But like that game was bad vibes. The entire people were cussing. Like, and I'm just sitting there like drinking my beers. Like, I don't care either way. But this is hilarious to kind of watch them get their ass kicked.
Okay. No, I'm glad. Glad you're down there. You're kind of supporting the Cowboys. And what's the outlook on the Braves this year?
Oh man. I mean, they'll be in the mix by the end of the year. Hopefully they'll win the division. The Phillies are pretty tough.
Mets are kind of vibing this year. You should watch out.
So far, they're still up there. Spencer Strider, their ace, the Braves ace, he's done for the year. Needs Tommy John surgery. So, like, they're going to have to make sure the starting pitching can get through the postseason. I mean, that hurts quite a bit, but we'll see how it goes. It's a long season. Other teams can have injuries too, but they'll be right there in the mix end of the year, and then the bats will go to sleep once the playoffs start like they did last year probably.
Yeah. I hope that doesn't happen.
me too.
You know, me, you, Chris, and Allie, just the biggest Braves fans.
That's right.
That's a core four. But I think we're going to call it. It was a good pod. You know, fuck Jay Monahan. Your cousin, like, that's kind of fucked up of her as well to have this wedding on, you know, the CJ Cup prevents the Byron Nelson.
Like, she could have moved it. Yeah. Just move
once the schedule changed, she could have moved it. I agree with you. But, you know, I think we're going to be riding some of the same guys this week. So hopefully we just get a double winner and we'll have some money for the PGA Championship in Wells Fargo coming up.
True. That's right. I need it. I need one this week. So hopefully it's the week.
All right. Next week, Wells Fargo will be back. Don't know who's I'm having on, but we'll figure something out. But hope everyone has a great night and they win their bets this week. Live Hong Kong preview coming out shortly. Just still running some preliminary models for that, but be on the lookout for that. But hope everyone has a good night, and we will see you next week.